18th chapter of Parshas Achrimis. Smack in the middle of the fifth reading, Chamishi. So we talked about Yom Kippur, and then we talked about offerings in general. We talked about blood and fat, translated into passion and pleasure. And here in the 18th chapter of Leviticus, Moshe Rabbeinu introduces, or I should say reintroduces, the people to God all over again. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer. God speaks to Moshe, saying, and he says, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, V'yomar to Aleihem, and I want you to say to them, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. You don't say. Really? 18th chapter of Leviticus, I am the Lord your God? I'm pretty sure we've been aware of this for a while. God has given us a lot of mitzvahs up to this point. We went through Matan Torah, the golden calf, the aftermath, the reconciliation, the building of a Mishkan, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. What exactly is going on over here? And the interesting thing is it says, it doesn't just say Daber al Bnei Yisrael. The emphasis here is Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, and you have to say to them before we go to any mitzvahs. This is like introducing the mitzvahs we're going to talk about. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So the Ramban says that we're about to begin a new list of mitzvahs, a new litany of prohibitions. And these are connected to the concept of aroyos, of prohibited intimacies and relationships. And that's turning the corner. This is going to be extra difficult for the Jewish people. Previously, we spoke about Daber el Bnei el Aren, Vel Bonov, to the Kohenim, to Yisrael, the various levels. This, he says, is going to be equally difficult. The greatest threat and challenge for Jewish people has always been intermarriage. And the notion of keeping a certain code when it comes to matters of modesty has always been the greatest challenge for the Jewish people. And therefore, Ramban says, it's as if we're having a reset. We're going back to Aseres HaDibros, back to the Ten Commandments. God says, okay, let's start this all over again. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, station identification. I am the Lord your God. As we're going to see in the next verse, it says, Kemaisi Eretz Mitzrayim Ashe Yishavtev Ba, Leisasu. Like the deeds of the land of Egypt that you lived in, you shall not do. Uchemaisi Eretz Kanaan Asher Ani Me'evi Eschem Shama Leisasu. And like the behavior of the Canaanites that I'm going to bring you to this country, you shall not do. Uvechukeseim Leisalechu, do not follow in their statutes. The Ibn Ezra says, Kemaisi Eretz Mitzrayim refers to shamism and the demon worship and all kinds of other forms of alien spirituality. The Egyptians, after all, were masters of the occult. But Kemaisi Eretz Kanaan, this refers to Aroyes. This refers to the prohibited intimacies. This refers to the notion of monogamy and so on and so forth. And that's Kemaisi Eretz Kanaan, and that's how we get introduced to this whole business. Let's take a look at Rashi. So he says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Says Rashi, Ani hu she'amarti b'Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I know this sounds familiar. At Har Sinai, I introduced myself to you in the singular, in the personal direct tense. Ani Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. Now I'm saying, Ani Hashem Elokechem. I am the Lord your God. Almost the same, only the tense has changed from plural, from singular to plural. Says Rashi, so when I said, Ani Hashem Elokecha, I am your God, V'kibaltem aleichem malchusi, you accepted upon yourselves my sovereignty. I said, I am your God, and you accepted that. So you accepted upon yourselves my sovereignty. He says, now that you accepted upon yourselves my sovereignty, me'ata, now, kavlu gzeiroisai, now accept my decrees. So it's as if accepting God's sovereignty, that's nice, but it doesn't necessarily include following God's decrees. Now, it's not only God's sovereignty, not only God is your sovereign, your king, not only this is my God, but this is the God whose decrees I have to fulfill. So, why would you have to give a separate command for decrees if you already accept sovereignty? I mean, what is the meaning of a sovereign if not to do what the sovereign says? So Rabbi Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi taught that the reason it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and God is, as it were, reintroducing himself and saying, I am the Lord your God, which as Rashi interprets means, now accept my decrees. Goli v'yadua lefanov, it was known before God, Shesefan linotek ba'arayis v'me'ezer, that in the end, that the point of contention, or point of breaking, where they would, so to speak, disconnect themselves from God, chas v'shalom, that this would happen not through anything but prohibited intimacies, and specifically through the notion of intermarriage. It says in the book of Ezra that the nation of Israel did not separate themselves from the following the Canaanite gods and the Babylonian gods, and you know why? It says because kinosu mibnei seim, because they married their daughters. And that's why once intermarriage is crossed, all bets are off the table. Lefichach, therefore, ba'aleim b'gzeira. Therefore, God comes and decrees, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God, de'u mi gozer aleichem. Know who is issuing this decree against you, so to speak, or over you. Dayan lipora, a judge who will exact payment. V'ne'eman l'shalem sachar, and is trustworthy to remunerate. So that's the business of being a, I am your God, so he said, this is my God, and therefore I pledge allegiance, is not good enough. God has to be more than a sovereign. God has to be the one whose decrees we are going to accept upon ourselves. And then we hear about, what is those decrees? Kemaisi Eretz Mitzrayim, and the pasuk we just read before, verse 3, like the deeds of the land of Egypt, Asher Yeshavtem Ba, in which you dwelt, Leisasu, Chemaisi Eretz Canaan, like the land of Canaan that I'm going to bring you to, Leisasu, says Rashi, Magid, this teaches us, Sha'oison Amomin, Shekovshu Yisrael, that the nations that the Jewish people had vanquished in order to resettle the land of Eretz Yisrael, Mikukolu Mikulam, were worse off than all of the other nations, even worse than the Egyptians. And this is from the perspective of moral depravity. So what is then the meaning of B'chuk Eseim Leiselechu if it already says, don't do like them? Why does the Torah have to add the words and say, and in their statutes you shall not go? So Rashi says, Mahiniach HaKosuf, what has the verse left behind when it says, Kimaisi Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem B'Loi Sasu, Uchumaisi Eretz Kanan Asher Nimi Evi Eschem Shoma Loi Sasu, don't do like the Egyptians whose land you left, don't do like the Canaanites whose land you're coming to, okay, don't do like them. So what else does the verse have to include? And the answer is, Shalei Omar Elo Elo Nimusei Shalahen, that here we refer to the way of life, Dvarim HaChakukim Lahem, the things which are established principles that this is that their society functions over. In other words, do not assimilate, even if it's not going to be an issue of religious values, even if it's not going to be an issue of intermarriage, even if it's not going to be doing like the kinds of things they do which are depraved, and from our Torah perspective, immoral. But furthermore, do not assimilate into their way of life. And that is kigoyin tartiyois vitzadiyois. Here, the Gemara refers to the kinds of behavior which were introduced by the Greeks and later the Romans. This refers to their theaters, their amphitheaters, and so on and so forth. Go watch the gladiators and to have get excitement over this. Rabbi Meir says, elu darkei, these are the different suspicious things, the things the Amorites didn't do. Shomanu chachamim, the chacham said that a Jew doesn't worry or concern himself about these things. So the bread fell out of my mouth, the Gemara says, therefore that's a bad sign for me. Don't walk under a ladder, carry a rabbit's foot, yada yada, the list goes on. So that's what we're referred to over here. In other words, seemingly innocuous things. Innocuous, it's not actually engaging in any kind of spiritual worship. I'm not actually embracing a foreign faith system. I'm not intermarrying. Just assimilating into that way of life. Torah says, you're Jewish people. And as Jewish people, regardless of where you live and when it's going to be, you have to live by a unique code, and that's our bond with God. And that's Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So we need to understand this Rashi. The Rashi that said, that what is the meaning of Ani Hashem Elokeichem? That up until now, you accept my sovereignty. From this point and onward, now you'll accept my decrees. how and why do we draw a distinction between decrees and sovereignty, and are they not one and the same? What would be the meaning of accepting God as king if we weren't planning to listen to what he tells us? How could you be a good citizen without being a lawful citizen? It doesn't seem to add up. Page Reish Nun Hei. This is Simon Yutes, the 19th entry under Parshas Acharei. Tzarech Bir, the Rebbe says, this Rashi necessitates elucidation. Ma Peshera Chaluka bin Kabbalas HaMalchus le Kabbalas HaGzeirus. What really is the difference between accepting God's majesty, sovereignty, kingship, and accepting God's decrees? V'harei l'cha'era, it would seem ostensibly that Kabbalas Malchusei Shel HaMelechi, that the meaning of accepting God as king, is Ischaivus V'Hishtabdus L'Tzayis L'Cholera Esav. If God is my sovereign, if God is my king, what would that mean? Translate it. God is my king, yeah? And therefore nothing. Therefore I do whatever I want. That doesn't make any sense. If God is my king, therefore I listen to God. I'm going to follow instructions. Now Rashi referenced the pasuk that introduces Aseres HaDibros, the proverbial Ten Commandments. Do you know what Rashi says there in this commentary on Aseret HaDibrot? He says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. God introduced himself to the Jewish people last time around, and he said, I am the Lord, your God. And the people said, yes, this is my God. Okay, this is my God. What does that mean to be my God? Rashi said, Kabbalas HaMalchus. That means to accept God's sovereignty. If it's my God, then he's my king. Okay, if my God means my king, what does that necessitate? What necessarily flows from that? And Rashi said, Kedaihi ha'itzah. In other words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher hitzichu me'eretz Mitzrayim, I am your God who took you out of Egypt. And you should know that the taking you out of Egypt was worthy, shetiyu mishubadim li, that you should be subjugated to me. So if he is our king, then we are his subjects. If we are his subjects, then we are subjugated to him. What does that mean if not to listen to the commandments, to listen to the instructions? What is the meaning of being a subject or being subjugated if I don't listen to the instructions and I do not follow the commandments that he gives? It's like semantics. What's the difference in this is my God, but I have to listen to his decrees? Why would God have to be reintroduced to us all over again? And number two, imamnam yesh tzeirich bekabalam yuchedes shal gzeiros hamelech. If for whatever reason there's some need for us to accept upon ourselves the decrees of the king, b'neisef al kabalas hamalchus atzma, in addition to the notion of accepting sovereignty, madua hu mofia rakan, why did it show up in Leviticus 18? Me'ato, and now, said God, kablu gzeresai, I think it's time you accept upon yourself my decrees. God, this is Leviticus 18. We've been listening to your decrees ever since when? We got the Torah in the middle of Exodus. Since then, we didn't listen to you. We begged forgiveness. We built a Mishkan. We got a slew of commandments about all kinds of things, starting from the beginning of the book of Leviticus. Korbanot, that really made no sense to us, and we don't appreciate. And we did all these things, and we heard about ritual laws of purity and impurity, and we learned about kashrut and non-kashrut, and we learned about Yom Kippur and atonement, which is atoning for not listening to you. And now you want to tell me God is reintroducing himself? Me'ata! And from now you'll accept upon yourselves my command, my decrees. If there was a need for reintroduction, if we had to get reacquainted, if we had to date all over again, you think maybe that should have happened after the golden calf? God should have said to the Jewish people, listen, I'm going to be reconciled with you. We're going to build a Mishkan. But first, Ani Hashem Elokechem. Let's make this clear. I am the Lord your God. You're responsible to listen to what I have to say. Why wait till the middle of Leviticus? The Yesh Lefarash. So the Rebbe gives us an incredible explanation, which explains to us a Rashi that really was an enigma for ages. Omnam kabbalas malchus yesh la'kadosh baruch hu. Indeed, the acceptance of God's sovereignty, sheheskaimah kvar b'maimed har Sinai, which has already taken place many, many, many months prior, when we got the Torah at Mount Sinai. And that was biyachas, that was with regard to mitzvahs shahadas sevlosan. That was mitzvahs that I can wrap my head around. Mitzvahs that I can swallow. But it didn't necessarily mean things which are decrees. And what is the meaning of a decree? What's the definition of a decree? Mitzvahs, hamenugadeis, l'choli goyim mitzvahs, which challenge every ounce of rhyme and reason. Which make us say, this makes no sense. My logic, my rationale, necessitates exactly the opposite behavior. That's a decree. And the Rebbe suggests something which is absolutely redefining. It's a new way of looking at the concept of Arayos, a whole new way of looking at the notion of the forbidden intimacies and the relationships and marriages of the Torah. So most people would tend to think that the relationships that the Torah prohibits, it's implicit. It's how could it be right? How could incest be a good thing? It's a terrible thing. It's a revolting thing. It's an insane thing. But guess what? Who says? Who says these things are wrong? Who says they're inappropriate? How about if I tell you that that once used to be the norm, not the exception? And how about if we suggest that it actually makes sense? This is a radical new way of looking at the intimacies that the Torah prohibits. It's not because it's intrinsically bad or abnormal or inappropriate. Not intrinsically. It's all those things because God says it's those things. And in fact, it might be exactly the opposite of what my mind understands and appreciates. Exactly the opposite of how I look at things. The Rebbe suggests that Isurei Ha'arayos, which as Ramban told us, that's what's being introduced now. God reintroduces himself because from here on, we're going to be hearing the litany of prohibited intimacies. This has not been discussed before. This is the first time. The first time in the Torah we're hearing about here's who you shall marry, here's who you shall not marry, and these will be the codes in which you will comport yourself when it comes to the matters of relationship, intimacy, and so on and so forth. So the Rebbe suggests that many, many of these prohibited marriages and intimacies are actually illogical. Actually illogical. Why would they be illogical? We assume them to be logical. Sure, the Rebbe says, we assume them to be logical because that's what's become the norm. People say, it's normal. What is normal? What's normal is what we're used to. Why is it normal to put ketchup on your French fries? Because that's what everybody does. It's not normal to drown your food with a taste of another food that's not the first food. Why does everybody do that? Because that's what everybody does. If nobody would do that, they say, what are you doing? If you like French fries, eat French fries. Why are you drowning it in ketchup? Which is half sugar. So the Rebbe says, Nisui in marriage, me etzem tivam, marriage in and of itself is something which is dershim hasama marbis meshne atzdodim. Marriage requires an extraordinary amount of corollary between two very different people. Not a simple thing, marriage. For marriage to work, it's a big deal. In fact, if you look at statistics these days, it's stacked against marriage working. Most marriages don't work. Most marriages break down today in the Western world. The funny thing is people come, spend enormous amounts of money, stand under the chuppah all starry-eyed, and 6 out of 10 of these couples is going to be getting divorced within 10 years. That's what statistics are. So, hein b'muvan ha'ishi, this is true on a personal level, and this is true on a familiar level. Now I ask you a simple question. If I wanted a marriage to work, what should I look for? Opposites? Or things we share, common denominators? What should I look for? Look for common denominators. There's a famous vignette. A kid of the 60s is dating this girl and his Zaidi says to him, he says, Maishala, this is a bad, it's not going to work for you. She's very different. He says, Zaidi, it's a new world. Opposites attract. Zaidi says, Moshe, a man and a woman are opposite enough already. You look for things you share. You look for common denominators. You look for things in which you are the same, not things in which you're different. So the Rebbe says, think about it. Heichon nitin limtza hasom agadele yeso. Where could you find a greater corollary? Ma'asher bein mishpacha achas. In one family. They grew up with exactly the same values, grew up with exactly the same customs, grew up with exactly the same comfort zone. They grew up exactly the same. Wouldn't that be a natural marriage? That's the most natural marriage. This the marriage that has the biggest success chance of succeeding is the marriage in which the couple's exactly the same, or as much as possible. Isra nisuin ben krevei mishpacha. The notion that here we get introduced to incest, where God says that the relationships, close familial relationships, necessarily preclude a marital relationship. Eifai lehigoyin ativi, according to natural logic, are the exact opposite. It flies in the face of logic. And therefore, the Rebbe suggests it's bechinas gezeira. In today's day and age, people want to talk about redefining marriage. And they have many logical arguments. The arguments are not illogical. It is not intrinsically off the walls. It makes sense. People say that's where their proclivity is, that's where their interest is, this is where it works. Why would you be against that? And you know what? You're right. They're right. There's no reason to be against it, except that God said it's not the right thing to do. But say, well, one second, I don't get it. This works. It makes sense. That doesn't work. So shouldn't people be happy? Don't you want people to enjoy life? Shouldn't we find fulfillment in life? Here's how I'm finding fulfillment in life. Rabbi, you should embrace me and thank me and sanctify me and tell me it's great. I'm finding happiness. Doesn't that what everybody wants of other people? They should find happiness? The answer would be, yeah, we do want people to be happy and well-balanced and well-adjusted. Then why would you want to put me in a situation where it doesn't really work for me? This works for me. And the only answer is because that's what Hashem said. But if it's what Hashem said, the point is, it's not something that's logical. It's not something that's reasonable. It's right because God said it's right. It's a gzeira. It's a decree. And the moment you try to come and rationalize, I'm telling you this is the right thing because it makes the most sense, because you lost the people, rightfully so. Because the people say to you, you're lecturing to me, him was right for me. I'm telling you this is not right for me. I'm telling you this makes sense to me, and you're telling me it's not good for me. So what's the answer? The answer is that we are in a relationship with God that is not exactly lateral. God didn't say, let's sit down and discuss this. Why don't we talk about what's right and what's wrong, how you feel about it, how I feel about it. Let's try to make some kind of compromise. God said, Ani Hashem Elikechem. Let me make this very clear to you, my dear Yidalach. I am the Lord, your God. It's not negotiable. You accepted upon myself your sovereignty. You said, this is my God. Well, guess what? If this is my God, then these are his decrees. Full stop. If these are his decrees, this is the way you have to follow. Velochein, and that's why, when it comes to this concept of arroyes, of prohibited marriages and intimacies, the Torah comes along and says, Ani Hashem Elikechem. Kibaltem Aleichem Malchusa. You like the notion of, this is my God? You like me as your God? You like my sovereignty? You want to feel good about saying, I want a relationship with God and I'm spiritually minded? Great. Remember, it comes along with a certain responsibility. And the responsibility of sovereignty takes us, Adatem Kibaltem Rachas Malchusi. Till now it was just nice. We'll build you a nice palace, God. We'll do what you want. I don't really understand why you want that, but okay. Many husbands don't understand why their wife wants flowers either. They buy the flowers. Big deal. So you want me to buy a carbon. Hey, God, I don't understand. You take this animal, destroy it. I give you silk flowers. What do you want to have real flowers for? I have to throw them in the garbage. You went and spent $50 and they're in the garbage a week later. What's the point? Silk flowers, that could last you for years. She says, what do you bring me silk flowers? I don't want silk flowers. I want real flowers. You don't understand? Okay, fine. A person could say, okay, I love you. I do what you want. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me, but if that's what you want. God said, that's nice, but I'm asking you for more than that. I'm not just asking you to do what I like, because if that's what God likes, I'll bring him korbanot. Fine. So I'll follow a certain code of ritual purity and purity. That makes sense to me, but that makes you feel good. But here, God, you want me to be happy, and you want me to be married, and you say marriage and family unit is great, so this is how it works for me. Because Baruch Hu comes along and says, Kablu gzeiroisai. Now you have to accept my decrees. There may be mitzvahs, which from this point and onward in the good book, are minugodos lehigoyin ativi. They necessarily contradict your logic. They are illogical. Yeah, that may be. But nonetheless, you have to accept upon myself not only my sovereignty, but also my decrees. And that's why, before this set of mitzvahs, we get reintroduced to God all over again.